I'm so sorry I'm late. I was just talking to my sister about protecting abortion rights.
Wait, didn't we already do that in Ohio? We passed issue 1 last year.
I know, by a wide margin too. But now it's up to our state Supreme Court to decide whether they enforce it or ignore it.
Ignore it? Will they really do that?
They will if we don't keep extremists out of the court. But we can protect our rights by electing Justices Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
I don't know if I can remember that. Listen, I can barely remember what I had for breakfast this morning.
Here's a trick. All you have to do is remember, don't stop fighting.
Don't stop fighting. Oh, I get it. DSF. Donnelly, Stewart, Forbes. I love that.
Tell everyone you know, if you supported issue 1 last year, don't stop fighting. Vote for Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
This message was paid for by Red, Wine, and Blue, a community of women who care about reproductive rights as much as you do.
Hey, what's going on, friends? My podcast every day is broken up into two parts on the free platform. The first part, Act 1, is right now. When it's all done, go right on over to Act 2 to get the second half of the podcast. Thank you so much for checking out my show.
Hello, is this thing on? Hello? Hello, Ron?
Welcome into the Eric St. Show podcast. A daily show where I discuss news, nonsense, and my personal adventures from right here in the Impact Power Sports Studio. Thank you so much for being here. Right away, Nick says, another snub from Q100. It was Cover Wednesday on Q100. I wasn't even convinced that Nick was listening. He requests, what was it? It was Type O Negative. And what the fuck was that song that you made me play by Type O Negative? Summer Breeze, which was Seals and Crofts way back. Well, you know, that sucked. It was so bad. I can't tell you how bad it was. I mean, that's such a slow song to begin with. Type O Negative slowed it down to like a third of that. How is it that you like such awful music? By the way, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know what the deal is. Okay. For a second there, I didn't think I was able to see my chat. But I now can. I think I can. I don't know if I can see every single one of them. Nick had chatted, but I don't. There's an issue with the chat. I can see it. Like, I see Kenny had extra spookies for Stevie. Tyler complaining about Twitch notifications. Chris. Bob says, kill switch engage Holy Diver. Now, I want you to know that I did, in fact, listen to it, and I like it. But I just forgot. I tried my best, and I was close because I actually listened to it today, but I dropped the ball. Part of it happens because on the day of the broadcast, I need contact with you. Like Nick, he made contact with me, but the problem was the song was shit. Some people who have called me before, like some of the regulars north of the Hard Living Line, I trust them, and I will literally play it sight unseen, like I haven't previewed it. And I'll play it. But for you losers who have shit music taste, I'm not going to do that. And thank God I previewed the Type O Negative song. And then I think Nick requested something else. What the fuck was it else? And somebody had requested like White Zombie, Children of the Grave. Absolutely outstanding. So interesting. I loved that. I said, upon further review, Nick, I just checked it out. That song sucks ass. It took me 2 seconds to realize how shitty it is. Then I sent him laughy emoji and middle finger, black hand middle finger emoji. He wrote, LOL, yeah, they stretch it out over a minute longer than the original. Then why did you request it? How about Cheap Sunglasses by The Sword? I wrote, I'll check. All of your garbage songs need review. And then I realized, why am I spending so much time with fucking Nick? I never did it. Sorry. I'm not sorry, not sorry. Isn't that what people say? He writes, you would have hated my original idea of Crowbar's awesome 8-minute rendition of Dreamweaver. Yeah, God. It's fucking horrible. Bob says, I sent an email through the station. Did you get it? No. You got a call. You got a call. Look, this is how the arrangement works on Q100. You call, and I write it on this with a pen. I write the suggestions down. It's very simple. So I want to fucking talk to you, idiot. Yeah, I played a lot of great music today. Matt Kuipers, Kevin's brother, he says, oh, I got a great cover. I go, okay, what is it? Yeah, Metallica doing Bread Fan. And I'm like, dude, you know the rules about Cover Wednesday. At the end of the day, the thing that matters the most is that the song has to be a known song. For example, White Zombie doing Children of the Grave. Everybody knows it's a Black Sabbath song. That's interesting. If it was the Spin Doctors doing Children of the Grave, that's interesting. As long as it's a known song and you can have well-known band doing known song, that gets green check mark, or unknown band doing known song, that gets a green check mark. You know what gets red check mark? Shit song no one's heard of, done by anyone. Nick says, get me a radio job. I want to resurrect Out of Control Saturday Night that KLQ used to do. I'm not familiar with that. We'll get there. Otherwise, it was really good. Nick says, you played that atrocious version of Gordon Lightfoot's Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. That was requested, by the way. And I love that song, and it's an excellent version. And anything by Kingston, Ontario punk band Headstones is worth playing, in my opinion. Bob says, I was busy at work. I'll try again next week unless you want to write yourself a note. Are you telling me you can't spend 25 seconds, hit a phone number, and then I pick it up? Hey, yeah, don't forget, Killswitch Engage, Holy Diver. I might remember, but the easiest way to guarantee I will remember is by calling on the phone. Linda says, did Linda request the Edmund Fitzgerald song? She loves it. She says, God, I hate that song. Well, I don't know, maybe you've never heard the version done by the Headstones, but it's entirely rearranged. It's twice as fast. Really cool. You got to check it out. Look up Headstones, Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. In fact, I like it better than the original. So there you go. Nick does not like it, but of course you don't like it. You are lumped in with Kenny. With the worst musical taste in the history of the audience. While the Insane Asylum was going on today, I was busy picking apart more material for a Big Fraud Wednesday tonight, starting at 6 p.m. with Who Are These Free Beers? Now, I am hyper-focusing on one five-minute event that happened this week on the world-famous Free Beer and Hot Wings show. It centers around Greg telling a bullshit story about something that happened over the weekend. And you are going, when you hear it, the way I'm isolating various parts and telescoping in on Greg's story without the distractions, you will get a great idea of how much of a pile of bullshit this story is. And we'll have discussion about it and elaborate as to why I think he is absolutely making this story up. Not to mention, it doesn't line up with who he is. He would never dream of really doing this to someone. That's not the way Greg operates. Chris says he should have started that story with Dear Penthouse. It sounded to me like this was a fantasy that Greg had had at one point that he worked into a story in which he plays a prank on his pal Doug Westerman, who was a radio program director at a college station in Minnesota. Freebeard told the story about how, through some weird circumstance, where a couple of young 23-year-old women approached him and told him that they wanted to have sex with him and they wanted to go up to his room and they wanted to have sex with him. That's what Greg actually said on the radio, and he expects you to believe it. He then said, okay, come to my room. And he gave him a room number, and it was his pal Doug's. And then he's like, oh, no, I played. And then he's like, okay, the next day, Doug says, hey, you won't believe what happened to me, guys. And so he was in the car, our pal Doug Westerman, with Chad Brown, who is Greg's broadcast sidekick, who also makes $200 a game. They're driving away in Austin, Texas. And Doug says, these two women came to my door and wanted to fuck me. I wonder how that happened. Oh! And Greg just sat there snickering and was silent, and he did not tell Doug what had happened. He just kept it to himself. And then he tells the story for the first time on the radio Monday. I went ahead and reached out to both Doug Westerman and Chad Brown, who were in the car with Freebeer. Obviously, Doug was in the car. He was the one telling the story the next morning about the hot chicks that came to the door and wanted to have sex with him because Greg sent them up. So I tweeted out to Doug Westerman and to Chad Brown, hey, fellas, Greg told a story about how he sent two chicks up to Doug Westerman's room late at night. I call BS. Can you confirm or deny? Now, Westerman knows who I am. He'll probably sniff it out that it's me trying to stir up trouble like I love to do. But Chad Brown probably doesn't know who the fuck I am. I doubt Greg's ever talked about me. So I'm hoping I get a response from those fucking idiots. I don't know why they're fucking idiots. I take that back. Chad Brown and Doug Westerman are not fucking idiots. I even went so far as to look up Doug Westerman's wife on Facebook. And, you know, I went under my real name because I cannot reach out to her through my Facebook page, my fan page. So I went to my personal page and I saw Mrs. Westerman. And, like, she looks to be a nice lady, obviously. I mean, why wouldn't she be? And I started typing the message. Did your husband, you know, okay, she would love to hear a story about how Greg sent up horny hot chicks up to her husband's room. I did not do that, though. I backed off. I said, you know, I don't know. It's a little too much collateral damage. I'll keep that one in the chamber just in case. But there's no fucking way any of this happened. Now, I've chronicled the story here and kind of like glossing it over, but there's a lot of fine points and details. Wait till you see Greg's fidgety fucking body language and him looking around and pregnant pauses for effect and the smirks on this fucking story. And I can guarantee you he didn't say to the people in the room, hey, this is going to be a fake story. He probably just told it, which is what he used to do with me. And I used to sniff him out every time. That's a bullshit story. He's so bad at it, he doesn't think for a second that anybody will think that it's bullshit. He's bad at it, and he doesn't have the realization that he's bad at it. So he's terrible. What you will notice when I play this for you on the Patreon tonight at 6 p.m. is the lack of questions by anybody in the room. It's like, with just a little bit of investigative work, they would have been able to blow the lid off that story, but they probably didn't want to, you know, because they know full well what would happen. There was a couple moments when Steve interacted with him that had you scratching your head about the validity of this story. But I think the biggest reason why the story is invalid, Greg, who looks like a fucking balding alien, homeless and old, waiting outside of a hotel for ice cream to arrive, that two young hot chicks would approach him and say, we want to go up to your room and have sex with you. What a fucking idiot. Unbelievable. Kyle says, who is the bigger Greg hack, Opie or Smug Beer? Greg's the biggest hack in radio. The luckiest thing that ever happened to Greg Daniels, Greg Neuenfeld, is me. If it weren't for me, he would not have a show. There's no way. I'm the one that got us in touch with Novak. I'm the one that started the show in that direction. I can't even say this shit with a straight face. It's embarrassing. I don't give a fuck. Kyle says he forgot to mention they were hookers. They were asking for money. No. Were there any Freeburn Hot Wings groupies back in the show's heyday? Boy, were they. Boy, were there. Yes, there were. And then some. It happened. I'm telling you. Rich says, did you just mention Freebeer's real last name? Oh, I do it all the time. Neuenfeld, N-E-U-E-N-F-E-L-D-T. Gregory Richard Neuenfeld. I think it's Richard. Did you know that, I don't know if you know this, but like Henry, the prince in England, red hair guy, now lives in the U.S., his real name, or Prince Harry, is his real name is Henry. Did you know that? Harry is the nickname of Henry, which I didn't know. Why does this come up? Fucking Greg. You know what this idiot did? Him and his dumbass first wife. Name their first kid Harry Dick. Like, if you take the nicknames of their son's real names, Henry Richard, that's Harry Dick. What kind of a scumbag, asshole parent would name his kid Harry Dick? You fucking moron. Ugh. Harry is nickname for Henry. Just like Prince Harry, his real name is Henry. Greg's kid doesn't go by Harry, but you can say his name's Harry Dick. God, I hope that one doesn't get out on the playground. That poor kid. It's already bad enough that Greg's on the air talking about fucking boning 390 times a year. That sick fuck. Jesus Christ. All right. And then after we get done with who are these free beers today, we will be getting after another edition of the Ben and Eric Patreon podcast. And part of that will be a review of Blood Moon 2. Now, I don't have it all done, but I've got enough to review probably 10, 15 minutes on the Ben and Eric Patreon podcast. Like I said to you yesterday, there is not enough time to get through the whole film. I am not even 8 minutes into it of this 45-minute movie, and I've got 10 clips ready to go. Jimmy is going to be on, and his cousin Paul, who is the writer and director of the film. The time and energy these two put in to make one of the worst slash best movies that has ever been made is remarkable. And we will start to rejoice in this celebration on Patreon tonight. patreon.com/Eric Zane. patreon.com/Eric Zane. Did I say Zame? I think I did. Z-A-N-E. You can sign up for 7 days free, by the way. Do that. 7 days free. You put in a payment form, and then you cancel it right after. And then you get the 7 days free. And if you still want it after that, you can sign up afterwards and just enable the card, and away you go. All right. So we are off and running on this edition of the Eric Zane Show podcast. You can reach out to me via email, eric@ericzaneshow.com. And that is on the Shoreliners Striping inbox, eric@ericzaneshow.com. This morning was a little bit interesting because I woke up and as I got going, later on, the NFK wakes up. And you can always tell when he's in a shitty mood because of tone. When you say good morning, he says good morning back. And it's his inflection. Because if you say, how are you? And if he says, great, how are you? That's wonderful. But if he says, okay, like that, that means he's pissed off and he doesn't even want you talking to him. Okay. So that happened. I go, how are you? Okay. And he's trudging through the goddamn kitchen when he says it, away from me into the living room. And there's a, where the hardwood or the laminate goes into the carpet, you know, kitchen or dining room into living room. There's like a threshold where it divides carpet from laminate. He shuffles his fucking feet so much that he trips over that thing. Now that thing's a quarter of an inch raised from the floor. He trips over it and he whips around and gives it the finger and says, fuck you, motherfucker. And I'm like, ugh. So ridiculous. God. Oh. Tyler says, does he stomp harder when he's crabby? No, it's always consistently the same. He's always stomping his feet, and he always slams cupboards. The hinges all the time on these cupboards. You know how like you got the top one and the bottom one? And they're the ones that they have a little screw in that can slide off. He'll open the cupboard, get the salt out, and rather than shutting it, he just whack. He just hits it, and then it just slams shut. So everything's getting slammed, and it's impossible to not wake up after he wakes up. And he's downstairs. And I'll never forget however many years ago it was, like the first morning. And like my eyes open up. I'm like, what is that? Is there a goddamn dinosaur downstairs? Holy shit. Kenny writes, he's probably wondering if there's any other hidden appointments being kept from him. Yeah, I forgot to tell him about the Monday appointment. And you're right. He needs to know that shit. Nick says you need to order some soft stops for your cabinets. I think he'll defeat them. Maze and Blue says getting woken up from people in the house not picking up their heels is so fucking annoying. Yeah. And the thing is, I want to say to him, I want to give him a pep talk about how to walk. But that would break my own rule about, you know, shit to bitch at him about. Because there's so much to bitch about that if I worried about everything, I would just be spending my time bitching. Chris is right. He's not hurting anyone. 95% out of the time, I leave him alone. Because I don't want to be constantly just yelling at the guy. I gave up on various things like, you know, leaving messes and fucking wiping your hands. Chris says, just making sure someone salts the countertops and puts peanut butter on the handles. It's honest work, but someone has to do it. Yeah, I chalk it up to just part of the shit that I have to do every day. I have accepted that. It's like, you know, shit you do every day. Brush your teeth. Feed dogs. Wipe feces off cabinets. Which leads me into perfect opportunity to tease for you that coming up, excuse me, on Monday. This is another long weekend for your old pal, Easy. But we fell into the idea that on Monday, I republish the granddaddy of all stories that has ever occurred on this show. You know, essentially 90% of what I do is storytelling. And not that bullshit lie shit that Freebeer does. Okay? Real shit. And the greatest story that I've ever been a part of is the Gary at the Men's Warehouse story. It could be known as many things, but if you have never heard this story, trust me. Even if you hate my guts, set a reminder in your phone to download Monday's show, which will be titled as Not the Best of the Eric Zane Show podcast for November 4. excuse me. I'm having a hard time. I gotta clear my throat. Hang on. Oh, God, that hurt. I don't remember all the details of how I told it then. And I'm sure that if I started right now just telling it to you from the beginning, like now, it would be fine. But you got to go to where my brain was when it all happened. I was reluctant to tell the story because of how upsetting it was. Let me just say this, in an effort to get you prepared for it. In these four walls of this house, it's quite possible that you will, anyone would encounter feces smudges in various locations. It's happened many times. And the man does not get out often. But when he does, a lot of times, he brings his feces with him. For example, when we were in the old fraud bus, not the one I have now, He's not been in the new one. The old one, we let him sleep on the in the back bedroom. And after night one, I walk back there to, like, whatever, get something out of the back bedroom. And there's a streak on the goddamn sheets of shit. All right? So if what I'm telling you is, if he's out of these four walls, there's a pretty decent chance that the shit's coming with him. Well, this story involves Gary from the men's warehouse. Falls into that description. I mean, all of those variables are in play. That will be in its truest form for you on Monday. I can't wait. I can't wait to listen to it. And I don't listen to my own show. Hey, it's your old pal EZ with my latest and greatest sponsor, Uncommon Goods. Found at uncommongoods.com. This is a fantastic gift site for that special someone on your list. Could be holiday related, could be birthday related, could be for you related, or just because you're awesome to that someone special. We're talking about amazing gifts that Uncommon Goods has scoured the internet for. From artisan crafters and people that make cool stuff that you want. They describe it as, give a gift that sparks joy, wonder, delight, and that it's exactly what I wanted feeling. They will feel that way when they check out what you have taken the time to discover at Uncommon Goods. There's all sorts of different categories for you to shop. Food and drink, gardening, pets and animals. Reading, sports. Like, for example, I click on sports, and I'm just checking out all these amazing gifts that somebody would love. Maybe some decorative coffee mugs or shot glasses, things like that with your favorite team's logo on them. All sorts of fun books related to sports. The list goes on and on. I mean, seriously, you can scroll for hours and hours and just see some amazing things that you could get somebody for a gift, because that's what it's all about, you know? And to make it extra simple for you, I can give you 15% off your next gift. Go to uncommongoods.com/Zane. uncommongoods.com/Zane for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited offer. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary. I can't stress that enough. This is awesome. Start your shopping at uncommongoods.com. Go Blue. 0052 Jason says, why do you call him NFK? It's a great question. I'm going to tell you that right now. That stands for, hang on, I got to get a drink of water. I'll be right back. This is killing me. I apologize, but I'm having some throat issues. Stand by. I'm going to run a quick intermission. Damn it. Sorry. All right, I'm back. After the NFK moved in, there was a series of moments where we were like figuring each other out. And I was getting like a lot of emotion out of him for various moments in time. One in particular, when we went up north and we were walking around the local nature center. Cub Scouts are there, Girl Scouts. Church groups. And his he had a sweatshirt, and he dropped the goddamn sweatshirt in the center of the room. He looked at it, gave it the finger, and called it a fucking N-word. Hard R. Out loud. And I'm like, what? What just happened? All these heads turn.
Mommy, he just called his sweatshirt a bleeping N-word. Oh, my God.
I'm like, what the fuck is going on? I go, and I pick it up. I go, come on, buddy. Let's get out of here. We got to go. Holy shit. So that NFK stands for No Filter Kevin. one of you probably came up with that. He has no filter. If it's in his brain, it's coming out. It's going to be horrible obscenities. Kenny says, NFK going to get his ass beat in the middle of Walmart if he keeps that shit up. He rarely leaves the house. Very rarely. In 6 months, he's been outside one time. And that was Monday. Well, I take it back. Anytime we have to go to the doctor. That's it. Or the dentist. All right. So that is coming up on Monday. If you're new, like GoBlue0052 Jason, I'm not even sure who that is. Or if you have any questions, by all means. Tyler says, other objects that are N-words to the NFK. Mugu Gai Pan, true story. Anything that trips him, anything he drops, remote control, etc. Yes. All right. I got in the mail something yesterday that I didn't expect, and it's kind of hilarious. I just changed companies that does the payroll for the Eric Zane Show podcast. Believe it or not, I know it sounds ridiculous, but I actually have payroll. Like every 2 weeks, I get a paycheck. It says pay to the order of, it's electronic, but it says it. And then it shows me how much federal tax, how much state tax, FICA, Social Security, all that shit comes out of the money that I earn. And the company that just started doing that is a well-known company known as ADP. That's what they do. And I'm like, okay, great. Yeah, this is much more streamlined. And they go, okay, and be on the lookout for, and they told me they were mailing me something. I'm like, yeah, okay, whatever. Because by law, you have to have this displayed in your place of business. I'm like, huh? You've seen these. This is one of these laminated things. Youth Employment Standards Act, minimum wage and overtime. Michigan law prohibits discrimination. Michigan safety and health protection on the job. This workplace covered by the Michigan Right to Know law. And, like, I guess if you don't display this prominently, you get in trouble or some shit. I have no idea. And then they sent me another one. Federal labor laws. It talks about the federal minimum wage. By the way, I threw that away, but excuse me, O'Neill. On this fucking thing, state of Michigan minimum hourly wage is $10.10 starting. Okay, coming up January 1st, it's going up from $10.10 to $10.33. And then next year, January 1, $10.56. So in another decade, the $12 an hour that iHeart is paying me will be less than minimum wage. And then it says on this one, federal labor laws, federal minimum wage, $7.25 an hour. That's way back since July of 2009. Now, wait a minute. I'm confused. Do any of you know why this is? So federal minimum wage is $7.25, but the state minimum wage is $10.56. How? I mean, what is it? Which one do you? Well, hey, I'll take the lower one, please. I mean, who's going to do that? Does that mean if you're a federal employee, the minimum wage is $7.25? And that's it's ridiculous that the minimum wage is $10.56. That's very low for the state. But the fact that the federal minimum wage is $7.25, workplace discrimination is illegal. It just talks about that. This is pure bureaucracy. The fact that, I mean, obviously, it doesn't matter to me. I have one employee, me. I don't want to read this shit. Fuck it. I will autograph these and send them away to you to the highest bidder. Bidding opens at 1 cent. Matt says, can you sue yourself for sexual harassment? So if I give myself a hand job, I can sue me. Logan says, you better hang that up before you file a complaint against yourself. Becky says, I think the federal minimum wage is set so that a state minimum wage cannot go lower than $7.25. You know, people say that the minimum wage should be $15. I mean, I don't think that is that much of that. It shouldn't be a big deal. I know Rick gets all butthurt about it. And, you know, he says, I can't afford $15 an hour. I said, well, you better figure out a way, you know. I think it's great. It should be a minimum of $15 an hour, in my opinion. Logan talks about this same document. He says that's small compared to Maine's. The one I have to update every year is nearly 6 feet tall and just as wide. Goddamn. All right. Thank you to those who are enjoying the show on Facebook and YouTube. But it's time to let you go. I appreciate you so much. You can get the rest of the show live on Twitch. Twitch.tv/Eric Zane Live. Twitch.tv/Eric Zane Live. Do that and you can watch the rest of the show as it happens. Thank you so much. Have a nice day. Facebook and YouTube. Brought to you by Irvine's Auto Repair, Grand Rapids Hybrid, and EV. Perfect opportunity to talk about them. You can reach out. Their website is ervines.com, ervines.com in Grand Rapids. Stand by. They repair all cars, hybrids, and EVs. You can call them at 616-532-6600. That's 616-532-6600. A&E Heating and Cooling. I got some great news about Senor Martinez. I haven't gone into detail about the specifics on the medical concerns. All we knew is that Senor Martinez, a week and 3 days ago, had a bit of a time away because of a doc trip, if you will. But there's no doubt there was, you know, I had my fingers crossed that everything was going to go perfectly well, and I have good news that it did. So that makes me very, very happy. Joe Martinez, you can find him at 616-516-8579, tuning up furnaces with help from DTE Energy, meaning you can take advantage of a furnace tune-up as well as a diagnostic test. Normally, that's $145, but he's partnered with DTE, and DTE is paying that $145. So he walks in, he does the work, and he says, go blue, see you later. And he walks out the door. There you go. So $145 if you have not taken advantage of this in the last 2 days. 616-516-8579. That's 616-516-8579. Call and schedule today. Which reminds me. Just saw, and I hope I can get it. There was, oh yeah, college football bowl predictions for week 10. Latest predictions. Now, the only thing I'm looking at this for is to see where Michigan winds up in this, like what people are suggesting. There is something known as group of five games. Those are the ones that are like the lowest tier. Like the Camellia Bowl. Camellia, what does that even mean? Is that a product? Like they predict that Ohio will take on Louisiana. Or the Frisco Bowl, December 17th. In that one, North Texas will take on Miami of Ohio. So, you know, small schools. On December 26th, Western Michigan is predicted to play in the 68 Ventures Bowl against James Madison. Now, out of all those bowls, these group of five games, that's 12 games. Michigan is not expected to be in any one of those. All right, well, those are all small bowls, so I would understand that. And then in this article, they talk about the teams that are trending up, like Miami, Miami Red Hawks, Miami of Ohio, and Northern Illinois. Well, then there's G5 versus P4 matchups. I don't know what that is either. But these are games like the Los Angeles Bowl, the Detroit Bowl, the Armed Forces Bowl. In fact, they predict that Michigan State on December 26th will be in the Detroit Bowl against Eastern Michigan. Trending up is Virginia Tech. Trending down, Michigan State. It says if the Spartans upset Indiana or Illinois, their postseason chances will sharply rise. If not, though, MSU will be looking at the reality of needing to beat Purdue and Rutgers to make a bowl. The good news is both those matchups are at home. The bad news is MSU might be an underdog to Rutgers. No mention of Michigan. I'm thinking, all right, well, they got to be in like a higher bowl. All right. Power Four Bowls, Part One. Don't know what that means. I think that means like the conferences, power conferences. These are shit bowls like the Gasparilla Bowl, the Guaranteed Rate Bowl, the Birmingham Bowl. They have Michigan as possibly playing in the Pinstripe Bowl, December 28th against Georgia Tech. All right, I mean, it's a garbage year. Whatever. There's a fairly good chance Michigan is going to lose three of their next four. Oregon, Indiana, Northwestern, Ohio State. Now look, Michigan is at home against Oregon. Oregon's number one. I know everybody's saying Michigan has no shot. But you cannot count them out at home. They played solid football for at least a portion of the USC game. If they manage to upset Oregon, the chat is going to be ridiculous when it comes to Joe Martinez. We need to pray that there is no upset. We cannot have that Mexican in here talking his shit. We cannot. I don't think Joe even himself thinks that Michigan is going to beat Oregon. But God help us all if they win. You know, if you think about it, I won't be here on Monday. So that would be, that's actually works out perfect. Not that he'll be deterred on Tuesday. Joe says you never know. No, you're right. You never know. You never know. Everybody said the Detroit Tigers weren't going to make the playoffs, and look what they did. They made the playoffs. They won the first round of the playoffs, the wild card round. You can never say never. Tyler says, so we're thinking Michigan will be bowing this weekend. Linda describes it as bending over. Joe would not, Joe is like, no. If we lose, that's not bowing. We don't bow to anyone. They lose, but they don't bow. Now, I don't know of any team that actually bows to anyone. So I think that's all just Joe speak. It's all just Joe nonsense. But anyway, it's an enormous weekend. Every weekend of college football seems to be bigger than the last. Rich says Michigan is a 15-point dog. Okay, I think they're either going to win outright, Michigan, or get destroyed. If you are going to take Oregon, give the points. That's my opinion. Michigan has to early and often strike, because once you get momentum and you rattle the cages of a young athlete, ultimately, if they can pressure the quarterback and fuck him up, you know, everybody's got a plan till they get punched in the nose. Isn't that what Mike Tyson said? All right. Thank you also to my friends at Kuiper Tree Care. Keep these folks in mind. They are the absolute best. If you are in West Michigan, you have a team to take care of your trees, your tree pruning, your tree removal, land clearing, storm cleanup, stump grinding, or tree risk assessment. Just remember Kuiper Tree Care, K-U-I-P-E-R, KuiperTreeCare.com. You can reach out to them, call or text 616-828-8225. That is 616-828-8225 for Kuiper Tree Care. Outstanding. Thanks to them. They took care of the trees around this household. And they can do the same for you. All right. A little bit of confusion here. The Detroit Lions are wondering what is going on, because we've got another bit of drama concerning up-and-coming wide receiver Jameson Williams. You know, to start out his career, he was suspended right away because he gambled and he got in trouble for it. And then just recently, he got in trouble for he had a banned substance in his body, so he got suspended 2 games. He served one of those games. But also, this just came out. Some investigative reporting found this out, that he recently got pulled over as a passenger in a car. And there was a gun in the back seat, and it belonged to the driver who had it registered. And Williams also had a pistol on him, but he didn't have a license to carry it on him. So he's carrying an unlicensed, or he doesn't have the, that's a big problem. Okay. And but the bigger problem is the cops knew who he was, and it appears that Williams had some home cooking, and they decided to let him go because he's Jameson Williams. Police launch internal investigation after Lions Jameson Williams avoids arrest for gun possession. Wow. Why he wasn't arrested is now the subject of a Detroit police internal affairs investigation. I guess one of the local TV stations, they were the ones who kind of blew the lid off this. I guess it boils down to the cops were fans, apparently, of Jameson Williams. And then, like, the cop who was on the street in the field, like, doing the taking care of it.
Topping our news.
He's on the phone, heard talking to a supervisor who says, yeah, let him go because it's Jameson Williams or something like that. And then the guy who's standing next to Williams, he goes, oh, thank God, you're a hero. Oh, no. Which, I mean, yeah, that's wrong, but I'm a Lions fan, so, you know, I think that's okay. I don't give a shit that Jameson Williams is carrying a pistola illegally. Channel 7's probably getting death threats.
News tonight is that off-the-field issue now facing one of the Detroit Lions' young stars who is already serving a two-game suspension.
Why are you talking like this? I'm Channel 7 reporter.
This is a puker. This is what puking is.
Topping our news tonight is that off-the-field issue.
Because if she were at home, would she be going, it's time for bed, honey. Let's get your chabbies on.
Issue now facing one of the Detroit Lions' young stars who is already serving a two-game suspension over performance-enhancing drugs. Thank you so much for joining us tonight for 7 News Detroit at 6. I'm Carolyn Clifford.
And I'm Mike Duffy. It's a story that will likely send shockwaves through the Detroit sports fan base and across the NFL.
Now, earlier this month,
about shockwaves. Come on, man. This is so sensationalized already.
He arrested Lions wide receiver Jameson Williams after they say he was caught with a concealed handgun during a traffic stop. Williams is not a CPL holder. The 7 investigators exclusively obtaining body cam video of the police stop in Detroit.
It's a nice Louis Vuitton jacket, though.
But were the cuffs taken off because of his high-profile status?
Yes! So what?
Our questions have already triggered a Detroit police internal investigation.
Here's 7 investigator Ross Jones.
I like how in the background it says dropping the ball.
What he has learned.
I want to know if the fact that this individual was a Detroit Lions player, did that play a factor in the decision making?
I would say yes.
It's just after midnight on October 8th. And near the corner of Connor and Jefferson, two Detroit police officers are pulling over a driver for speeding.
I'm the Detroit police, you know I'm stopping you?
Uh-huh. In the passenger seat of the black Audi is Detroit Lions wide receiver Jameson Williams. Driving the car is his brother.
Before you start, you're trying any weapons in the vehicle?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a CPL holder?
Yeah.
Okay, where's your CPL at?
Yeah.
All right. Any other weapons in the vehicle besides that one? You got another one. Where's that one at? You don't got to reach for it. It's over there with him.
Officers said they found the second gun under Jameson Williams' seat. They would take both weapons, finding that the first, found in the back seat, was registered to Williams' brother, who had a concealed pistol license. The gun under Williams' seat was registered to him, but he didn't have a CPL. And that, the officer concluded, was a problem.
I ain't gonna take you out, okay?
What?
You're gonna start for carrying a concealed weapon, and I'm just explaining it to you so I can be transparent.
But it's you are weapon, sir.
Okay?
It's clear from the stop that the officer...
Williams is... make no mistake, I've heard Williams speak before. I really like him, but he is intensely stupid. And I think it's starting to manifest here. This is a dumb individual. Good athlete, team player, lovable, super dumb.
...carrying a concealed weapon, and I'm just explaining it to you so I can be transparent.
It's clear from the stop
but
that the officer
my weapon, sir. You idiot.
Does not know who Williams is, but repeatedly he would remind him.
Only because I play for the Lions, bro. I'm Jameson Williams.
Bro, I play for the Detroit Lions, bro.
Bro, I play for the Lions.
Sir, I understand you play for the Lions. That doesn't give you like any.
I know, but I can call somebody right now that you can talk to. Bro.
At one point, Williams' brother tells police that the gun belongs to him. But during the stop, The Lions wide receiver admits the gun is his.
I got a gun for protection. Do y'all know where I live at? Detroit.
Despite his celebrity status, Williams is handcuffed and placed in the back of the squad car. DPD commander...
He is right. Fucking children have guns in Detroit. That's a regular thing.
Michael McGinnis says that was the right call.
I feel that there was probable cause to arrest and that he was under arrest by the patrol officer. And because of that, he should have been conveyed to the Detroit Detention Center and processed.
But Williams wasn't taken to jail.
Sorry.
Instead, a supervisor was called to the scene. The department says that's not unusual for a high-profile stop. It's a precaution to make sure I's are dotted and T's are crossed. So within a few minutes, a sergeant arrives on scene.
What's his name? This.
James Williams. 95, go ahead.
The wide receiver?
Yes.
Here, Williams. Yeah, the wide receiver, bro. Oh, no.
Okay, hang on.
Unlike the responding officers, the sergeant is a Lions fan. That's made clear by looking at his cell phone. Over the next 30 minutes.
He's showing on the body cam, the Sarge opens up his phone and his background is a Lions logo.
The sergeant would make a series of phone calls to higher-ranking officials trying to determine if Williams needed to be arrested or if the driver's concealed pistol license covered both his and Williams' gun. At one point, the sergeant can be heard whispering something to the arresting officer's partner.
I'm so mad at you two.
He was so mad at them. And I think what he was referring to was the arresting officers. I assume in a jovial way for them having made the traffic stop and detained the passenger.
After conferring,
everything you've said is correct. There is no need for an investigation here. It's crystal clear. And the Lion fan in me is like, so what? Let him off. But this is fucked. Then this, you know what? This is Jameson Williams' fault. This is a dumb, dumb man. That's why.
With multiple supervisors, the sergeant makes two more phone calls, and it sounds like Williams is about to be taken to jail.
Well, you guys, he's coming in. You might want to make special accommodations. He's going to be going for carrying a concealed weapon.
But minutes later, everything changes.
All right, that is Act 1 of the podcast. Act 2 is available right after this one. Go check it out. What are you doing? Don't miss a second of it. Thank you so much.
Did you know that in Ohio, the state Supreme Court could just ignore the Reproductive Rights Amendment we passed last year?
But so many Ohioans voted for it.
That's why we need to keep extremists out of the court by voting for Justices Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
I don't know if I can remember that.
Here's the trick. Just remember, don't stop fighting. DSF. Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes. If you supported Issue 1 last year, don't stop fighting. Vote for Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
This message was paid for by Red, Wine, and Blue.